Welcome to the Sales Chaos Theory Podcast, the go-to audio experience for navigating the ever-evolving landscape of sales conversations. Hosted by the dynamic duo Tim Ojai and Brian Lambert, this is your invitation to dive deep into the world of value communication like never before. In a market flooded with unpredictability and constant change, Sales Chaos Theory is your guiding light, offering insights, strategies, and the much-needed clarity to help you find the patterns and thrive amidst the mayhem. This is Sales Chaos Theory, where we make sense of the complexity in the market and help you lean into it to rise above the fray and land more deals. Let's dive in.
All right, here we go. I am sitting here with a platform administrator, somebody who's at the director level in a tech company, and today we're going to be exploring her perspective. So as we begin, just give us a little bit about your background, just a bit of a touch into your role and the size of company that you're working with currently.
Sure. The company size is around 500, probably. I'm probably 40 to 50 million a year as far as revenue. And I am the person that I'm very closely linked to sales and to the things that they need. And I run and maintain a platform. And I also have to deal with, for want of a better term, lot of sales pitches to me for items that will augment the sales process for our team.
So everybody wants to help you help others, yeah?
Yeah, sure,
okay.
Right.
Cool, right. Okay, so
the daily tasks, right.
Okay, so a lot of folks are contacting you randomly. You're interacting a lot with salespeople, and we've talked a little bit before already, so the idea that you've definitely experienced what great selling looks like and what bad selling looks like. So let's kind of start at a high level so we can help educate our audience. In your role, looking at supporting a large sales group with a lot of complexity, what are the kinds of pressures and trends that affect your role the most?
I have a very tech-savvy sales group, and they love to find things on the web and bring them to me. They get very excited about, we call them bells and whistles, right, in the industry, and they want me to consider them all. So it's a bit of a chase keeping up with that. In addition to that, I really do have to understand their day-to-day processes and be able to sort through on what will really help us and what is just yet another kind of, flavor of the week type of application. In addition to that's not my job is to take sales pitches all day long. My job is to take care of the platform and maintain it for the company. So it's a balance having the time to do that.
So it sounds like there's a lot of, I'm trying to think of the right word here, interruption.
And
a constant pressure for you trying to just manage this platform for the business, but then you've also got a lot of just internal pressure from your own team asking for help.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Trying to maintain that thought line is tough. Yeah.
How much disruption is created by just say technology innovations, or just other dynamics that are coming from the other side of it? So you've got sellers on one hand, but I got to imagine there's other things coming in hitting you from the other side.
Right. So I have to keep up as a continuing ed part of my day-to-day job, which I factor in. So I have to set aside constant time to study, keep up with new releases, new improvements, et cetera, on the platform that I work at. Mm. And the other point that I have to keep in mind is everything that a sales team does, the executives want to see an analysis of. So that's the other mindset that I have to keep is, how will this look in a report? How will this, it's always, how are we showing ROI? That's not my specific responsibility, but I have to be aware of it when I'm considering any kind of help for the team as far as technology.
So is it fair to say that a lot of the pressure of your role is around how you report it back to senior executives to help them
sure.
be informed so they're making decisions? And so you've got requirements that go up and above and beyond what other people do just because you have to quantify and make visible everything that's going on.
Yeah, so I'm bridging that gap. Yeah.
Okay, wow. All right, and then are there any other, trends in the industry that are affecting you a lot as well?
Nope, that pretty much covers it.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. All right, well then, so
let's
go down the path a little more specific. What kinds of problems do you then have to navigate most often because of these pressures that are constantly attacking you?
So one of them is definitely time, and I'm sure that's an issue for everyone. I do want to attend. You don't want to miss something that really could be helpful for the team by just being grumpy about, people interrupting you. At the same time, I've got to keep my eye on the ball as far as maintaining things. So that's quite a balancing act. And sometimes, yes, I do turn away or please set aside or please don't pressure me. I have a longer time frame and I'm all about the long game. Boy, do I love salespeople that get that because it's not a specific cycle when we buy. Sometimes it's out of desperate necessity, and other times it's a very long-term strategy that the rest of the company has laid a roadmap out for.
So you're dealing with really balancing both proactive and reactive situations, it sounds like. Is that right?
Yes, yes. I like those words. That's exactly
so
right.
So let's uncrack that a little bit further and talk about, first, the proactive stuff. So you mentioned you've got some real strategy. How far out does your strategy go?
Not as far as it probably should, but there are general, we have our year, right? We have our year-long roadmap. Right now, we're growing by acquisition, so there's a lot of surprises. Because of that, they can't announce things, and internally we get surprises. Oh, guess what? There's a whole new team. Oh, guess what? There's a whole new bit of technology. So right now, it's probably more that than long-term strategy.
Okay. So you've got this element of, I'd almost say there's kind of an annual cycle to that proactive part where you probably have kind of a seasonal, hey, we're going to ramp up, we're getting ready for the year that's coming, we're closing out the year that's finished. And so there's an element to that. But then let's unpack this whole reactive thing. There's stuff going on throughout the year that was never part of anyone's original plan that's jumping in and grabbing your attention. How does that stuff kind of surface?
It can be literally people walking up and saying, hey, I got this email. This looks like a really cool thing. I got the freebie and I tried it and I like it. Please raise it to the top of the list. Oh, and other items can be from going to an industry event and seeing something demonstrated. I do a lot of research myself, and I don't know a lot of people in my field that don't. We kind of pride ourselves on finding solutions and researching them personally, and the sales portion of that meshes, but we're not the people that are great about picking up a cold call and then something happens. That's just not in the realm of reality for the work that I do or the industry that I'm in.
So what are the kind of problems that come up when people try to take that approach with you? Why is it that you cannot be as responsive to somebody saying, hey, I've got this clear insight into a need that you have. Don't you need me? Why don't you need me? what are you trying to navigate when that happens?
Okay. I have to keep up on the industry, so I'm always on the web, and I know the players. In given, like if it's analytics or if it's email tracking or if it's call tracking, that kind of thing. So I'm going to know whether you're one of those players or whether you're not, and that there's no, you know, harm, no foul, because we always want to see if we can get a better deal maybe from a smaller competitor. So that's no problem. It's very disheartening if I talk to a salesperson after. So it should start with email. It should start with me reaching out. It's very easy to do that. And I don't think I've ever responded to a person contacting me directly. I might respond to an email with a link that I followed, learned about, and then went, yeah, I'd like to find out more about this. It's disheartening to speak with anyone who is not as aware of their competition as I am. I think that's kind of red flag.
Why is that? Why is that such a big deal?
It's absolutely one of the top three questions I'm going to ask right off the bat is, why should I be talking to you instead of X? It's a way I test whether or not I'm talking to the right person, because it's okay that in this tech realm, salespeople do have to wear more than one hat. They do need to be somewhat tech savvy. It's okay if they're not the person with all the answers, but they should have someone who is that could, when we get to it, could really dig into details with me. So it speaks to me, actually, just of this might not be fair. I feel like I'm not being fair. if the salesperson is completely unaware of where they are in the market, then I have to wonder, did they develop a product that is so far behind the what's trending right now that it's just not worth me having to work through figuring it out.
Sure. Well, so I have a hypothesis.
Pops in my head.
I can validate this.
Okay.
Yeah, let me throw this out. I think part of what I hear this consistently from a lot of folks is because you're under such a pressure for time, you want to get help, but you only want help from people who are credible enough to give it to you. So if they can't quickly position themselves as credible, and in your case, you're talking about, you know, one of your criteria is how well do you know your competition? How well do you know us? And why should I even talk to you? If they can't quickly articulate that, you don't have the time to sit and listen to them explain why they might be credible in other areas. You just need to move on and keep things moving because you've got all of this massive pressure coming from your own client base internally, plus what the industry is doing as a whole, plus what technology is happening, plus your executive stakeholder management requirements that you have to meet as well. Is that fair?
Yeah, okay. That's pretty fair. I would say that if I already knew a lot about the product, though, and I was talking to someone and they said, you know, I need to bring in my engineer or my customer service person to help you, that's fine. But they're not going to be able to tell me on the phone, for instance, everything I need to know about their product. I want to see something. I want to put my hands in something because the real rubber hits the road moment is going to be a demo.
Okay.
And that's a big part of the process for us considering something.
Okay. Well, we're kind of already talked about this stuff, but I want to just continue going. But let's go down the path of negative first. What are the worst things? What are the worst things a salesperson can do when trying to connect with you?
Okay, so for me, cold calls, I won't pick up the phone if I don't know who it is.
Okay.
If by chance I accidentally picked up the phone, which happens, sometimes I'll see a zip code or an area code, and that kind of bugs me because that's a call. That's a product I'm well aware of. I will say, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have time to discuss this on the phone. Please email me. If they don't have my email already, then it's a deal killer for me. Why are they shouldn't have been calling me first. They should have emailed me first or gotten my email, and I make myself available. So this is the thing. It's not like a treasure hunt. I have made myself available on public places. It's not that tough to learn just a little bit about me and my company.
You and I
had
a conversation earlier, and you were saying how you basically put everything on your LinkedIn profile that you want people to know, and if they won't even take the time to explore that to see if as a starting point, then it really, it just clearly says that that person is not the kind of credible problem-solving support you're looking for.
No, they just don't understand. Yeah, they just don't understand the market they're selling in. I'm in tech and media, so that's the bare minimum requirement. They need to know their competition. It helps if they're not reading from the script, although, again, if I know the product and it's a great product, I'll sit through a difficult, somebody who's learning to speak to me, it's okay. What else? Let's see. Those are really the big ones. I had a couple of examples. Okay. I had a recent example of this is actually a tough email that I got where we told somebody, in all honesty, we took a moment to respond to a very diligent person who was trying to have us meet with them at an industry event. And I did take a moment, which I can't do for everyone else, to say, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but this doesn't work for our team. We're going to be on the move. We can run past your setup at the vendor site, but we can't set up the meetings. And they wrote back and said, I actually pulled this up so I could see it. I totally understand you don't want to make any commitments given how busy you're already going to be that week. But with two of these events under our belt, we think we've nailed down the process to ensure it's the most efficient for everyone involved. If you're confident it won't work with your schedule, however, that's completely fine. I've never had
What did that say to you when you got that? Yeah.
It's like basically my take on that as the possible buyer is I'm wrong. I'm confused about my own schedule, and they know more than me about how to do this. I was flabbergasted. That's why I decided to pull it up and share it on this podcast.
Please don't do that.
It's a bad idea.
I cringe hearing it. Okay, so that's crazy. So let me try to summarize then, because we've run to the end of our time here, but I want to capture kind of the main points that I heard today. Number one is your role is in a position where you've got to deliver a lot of solutions to a number of complexities that are sitting both within your own client group internally with the executives that you're trying to manage and advise and support, et cetera, plus the external, trends that are happening in the marketplace, especially in this thing called technology. And because of that, you need help when you need help. You can't just stop and do what you're doing just because a salesperson is contacting you. If they're going to contact you, it needs to be coming alongside of you and not interrupting you. And so for you, that's actually really helpful when people use an email and they try to give themselves a little more of an explanation. But even then, it's not just to dump their product knowledge on you. It's actually to try and position a conversation and to see if there's relevance in you taking time to then talk about that situation. Does that sound about right?
I think, yeah, that's really accurate. The only thing I would add to that is that in my own research, which I'm expected to do and then present to others inside my company, I've already got a pretty good handle on our pain points and features that we would like to solve those or just the pain. I'm really good at locating that, knowing that maybe there's some things I don't know. So that's why once we've paralleled for a while and I'm ready for a demo, which is a live conversation and visual demonstration, I've really prepared to ask for the exact things that we really need. And we know what things we must have and what things would be nice to have.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. We're going to go ahead and wrap up now. And I really do appreciate the transparency and just being able to share what your perspective is like. Thank you.